just say, because it can kind of be overwhelming sometimes, all the issues in the world that are going on. And I would just encourage people that if they would ever be interested to work for an organization like ours, they hear the name Doctors Without Borders and people think, oh, everybody's a doctor. But actually, there's a very small percentage, not a very small, but a small percentage of our staff that are actual doctors. We have 44,000 staff globally, and about 10% of our staff are expatriate staff. So people like me that are traveling from the U.S. to go to other countries. And then the majority of our staff are local staff that are hired locally. But most of our staff are, for example, experienced in logistics, moving things around, either internationally or within the country. We have administrative staff that are working on just finance and, human resource issues. We have strategy people and sort of, more political style positions as well. And all of that support goes to providing high quality medical care for free in all of the places that we hope to work. So I would encourage people, if anybody's interested, to don't assume that they're all doctors. Don't assume that we're all doctors. There's a lot of other support type positions that are out there. And if you're not able to do those type of jobs, of course, donating even just a small amount helps us to continue to be extremely reactive and provide, again, very high quality service for people that most need it in a very short period of time.
Well, Jordan, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
For KBOO Evening News, I'm Althea Billings.
Hello, KBOO members. Thank you for being a part of our amazing community. Please join us this year at Mic to the People, our annual election meeting. Do you want to help steer KBOO in a positive direction this fall? Plan on attending the annual election meeting, Mic to the People, September 14th from noon to 3 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater and make your voice heard. Cast your vote by 1 p.m. at the event and enjoy refreshments and live entertainment with local musicians West Coast Black Bear and Izzy BM. Hear a report back from your board of directors and get to know this year's candidates. Record your fondest memories of KBOO in a minute or less at the Mic to the People booth. This is an all ages and disability affirmative event. Again, that's the annual election meeting, Mic to the People, Saturday, September 14th from noon to 3 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street, featuring West Coast Black Bear and Izzy BM. More information can be found at kboo.fm/meeting2019. Remember, your voice matters.
You're listening to KBOO, Portland, Oregon.
Good evening and welcome to Labor Radio. Of the working class, for the working class, by the working class. Today is Monday, August 26th, and we're here with Jennifer Forrester and Liz Arndt from SEIU Local 49. I'm here also with my co-host, Jamie Partridge. Good evening, Jamie.
Hey, Amanda, and here we are out in front of the Westside Kaiser Medical Center.
Yes, where people are rallying for a fair contract with Kaiser Permanente. So let's get our questions started. SEIU 49 is part of the coalition of Kaiser Permanente unions, which has been bargaining nationally with Kaiser for over 20 years. This coalition was built on a labor management partnership. What's the coalition's position on the state of the partnership?
We feel that the partnership is broken, that management is not respecting labor's point of view. And as labor, we feel that we know how to do the job and we should be allowed to do our job and voice our opinions on how our patients are cared for. And that's what the partnership was based on.
Want to say something about the brokenness of the partnership?
The partnership was based on Kaiser committing to being the best place to work and labor committed to making Kaiser the best place to get care by using frontline workers, as Liz said, our knowledge and our experience and our ability, and the partnership is broken. Kaiser is continuing to make one-sided decisions from their interests and leaving out our knowledge, our expertise, and our interests.
So basically a partnership on paper only? Is that what's happening now? To some degree, we feel like Kaiser's lost its way and it's gotten sidetracked and forgotten, and we're trying to help bring them back to the original intent of the partnership.
So it's been a year filled with labor taking their fight for fair and safe working conditions to the streets, and here is SEIU currently in the process of taking a strike vote. So how has Kaiser Permanente responded to the possibility of a strike? They love it, right? I mean, no big deal, huh?
Yeah, they have been sending out thousands of dollars worth of propaganda to frighten our members into not going on strike, saying that we have your best interest at heart, here is what we're offering, but they're telling our members they're offering things in the contract that they've not offered to the bargaining team. They haven't brought it to the bargaining table. So we're telling our members, don't be afraid, stand up for your rights, stand up for the respect that you deserve.
I think one of the key things to remember is that this strike is founded on the unfair labor practices of Kaiser Permanente when it has come to bargaining. In terms of bargaining, it is about safe staffing. It's about taking care of not only our employees, but our patients and the communities that we provide care for. So Kaiser has sent the message to members that they're not going to be heard, and looking to agencies and putting out job postings, looking for people to cross the strike line and come work, and willing to pay them better wages and bonuses in other regions. That's money that should be put into taking care of the employees that you have.
Are the other SEIU locals associated with the coalition taking strike votes as well?
Yes.
And how many employees for Kaiser Permanente would that affect?
Well, the Coalition of Kaiser Permanente Unions is about 85,000 members throughout the regions of California, Colorado, Oregon, Washington, Georgia, and Hawaii.
So this possible strike would affect all those workers?
Yes, it would.
And how many patients or how many clients are affected? Do you have a sense of how many people that is? I'm one of them.
So as far as the union members, we're looking at about 85,000 nationwide that would be on strike. So potentially every Kaiser member is impacted in some way. And it's not our intent to harm our patients. We're actually wanting to improve the care and the safety and the quality and the access and the affordability of the care. So it's not our intent to harm our patients. We're looking to give them the long-term benefits.
So, as you mentioned, the coalition filed an unfair labor practice against Kaiser, which they won. Will you tell us a bit about the ULP and the outcome?
Hasn't yet been resolved, so we recognize that the ULP will go through its process. There's multiple from several unions. Those will go through the process in the courts. We recognize that alone isn't going to be enough to get us the great contract, as well as the recognition and the staffing levels and the cooperation and bringing back the partnership, that the ULPs alone aren't going to change that, which is why we're out here in the streets now and we're having strike votes and we're engaging with our communities as well as our members.
So an unfair labor practice for bad faith bargaining, basically?
Yes.
And so what are the sticking points in negotiations? What are the issues that your members care most about and that management is being resistant on?
What do you think?
The biggest sticking points, it comes back to Kaiser's looking to increase profits and reduce costs. For us, it comes down to its respect. Kaiser has $35 billion in reserves. Their record-smashing profits so far this year. We recognize that is based off of the work that we do on the front lines every day. Everybody out there on that picket line right now making noise, it is their hard work that got Kaiser that $35 billion. It's our hard work that keeps members coming back. It's not their premiums. It's not their co-pays. It's when they come to this hospital and they are met with warm, caring people and they are able to develop relationships. That's what brings members back year after year to Kaiser, and that is our hard work and our dedication, and we deserve to be respected for that and listened to and heard, and we as employees deserve and need safe staffing levels that allow us to provide that high quality care. Our patients deserve it. And that's really what a lot of it comes down to is we're focused on the medicine and we're focused on the healthcare. Kaiser's focused on the money.
That seems like where healthcare is going nationally. Safe staffing's been a concern of almost every healthcare union over the past few years. And when you take that to the bargaining table, how do you bargain for safe staffing?
It's not necessarily just straight staffing directly. It's things like we're asking for language about outsourcing our jobs. We want guarantees and reassurances from Kaiser that they're not going to get rid of our jobs. They eliminated our lift team out of the hospital, whose sole job was to safely transport patients, bringing in technology. So it's not just hire more people, replace positions as they leave, to stop using attrition in order to reduce staffing levels, being aware of technology and the impacts that that has on our workforce, and not just replacing people with machines. So the staffing is kind of approached in several different ways.
So how are the customers, the patients, responding to these pickets that are happening at the various medical facilities, and how are you getting information to the patients about what's going on?
So the patients and the community members that I have been in contact with are my friends and my family, and they all support us 100% because they know we're out here for them. My job is registration, so when that member comes in, I'm the first person they talk to. And like Jen was saying, with the trying to not outsource our jobs or automate our jobs, they don't want to come in and talk to a machine. And so they understand that the reason we're out here is so that they have that face to come and speak to.
And what kind of work do you do, Jen?
I'm a medical assistant in primary care. So the 12 years I've worked at Kaiser, I've developed relationships with patients and with families, not just the patient, but their caregivers, their parents, their children. These are relationships that are valuable and do have a direct impact on people's health care in terms of when we take care of a patient who is high needs or is needing a lot of follow-up. Having relationships with the caregivers and knowing what their skills and their abilities are is important. It's all part of healthcare, and those are things that cannot be done by machines, as Liz said. Machines and robots can't have relationships. And beyond that, when our staffing isn't, when we don't have people doing the work and doing the job, we can only do so much. So our time and our ability and our relationship with each individual person goes down. And so then those relationships and those little things that we are able to pick up on and fix and help with go away.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. They've taken the care out of healthcare. They literally have, and it's not just Kaiser Permanente. I think it's hospitals and healthcare organizations in general. What do you think the patients will do when you do go on strike? Do you think they'll not go to the doctor, or do you think they'll cross the picket lines and get whatever care they can?
I think it's probably going to be mixed. We have a good number of our Kaiser members are either union members or they receive their insurance through a union member. So we have a good number that just based on that are not going to cross the line because they are union. Their union workers are connected to unions, so they aren't going to want to cross the line. I've had some tell me that they'll make sure they get their care before or they'll make sure they get it afterwards. But the message I've been hearing is that people are very supportive.
It's been a long time since Kaiser workers have been on strike, right? And I remember 22 years. I remember 1988. Was that?
I remember that strike. My mom was on that strike, and I was 10 years old, and I walked the line with her.
Yeah.
In 1988. Yeah, I remember that one. Then there was the 97. strike, where the partnership came from.
So if people want to be supportive, folks who are not members of the union, who are either community allies or patients, how can they be supportive, and how can they find out more information? How can they keep updated on what's going on?
So any of our events, like our pickets, we welcome employees, we welcome families. We've had patients show up and walk the line with us for as long as they're on the campus. So we welcome participation and reaching out, and we'll give updates. And I mean, because this is not just about us. It's not just about SEIU. It's about all Kaiser employees, all Kaiser members, and it's about our communities.
Is there a website or a Facebook page or something that people can get updates?
SEIU49bargaining.org is a good website that'll have a lot of the updates and information.
Perfect. Thanks for talking with us today.
Well, thank you, Jennifer Forrester and Liz Arndt, with SEIU Local 49 out here in front of the West Side Medical Offices of Kaiser Permanente. Good luck to you both.
Thank you.
You're currently listening to Labor Radio.
Here we are back in the KBU studios for the second half of our show. We're here in the studio with Alyssa Pariah, representing Popular Mobulation, or more commonly known as Pop Mob. Welcome, Alyssa.
Hello, thank you. This is the little crossover episode. Usually everybody who's listening in their cars or on their radios is hearing me on The Struggle Friday nights at 7.
Self-promotion, I love it.
Well, you are going to be the guest on my show this Friday, so we're going to get some lovely crossover.
Great. Thanks, Alyssa, for inviting me. So Pop Mob is a coalition of varying types of organizations throughout the Portland area. What types of organizations are in the coalition, and which of those organizations participated in the August 17th event?
Local organizations that know that fighting the, sadly, ascendant right is very important, because if it is not going to be done by our elected leaders, like we hope, we have to do it ourselves, even though we don't have funding and a lot of resources. We don't even have enough people in the street for these popular mobilizations yet. We're happy to count the support of the Democratic Socialists of America, Portland Jobs with Justice, Rose City Antifa, and a lot more.
And folks who are out there on Saturday included quite a few other organizations as well.
Yeah, well, shout out to the House of Flora, who rocked the day. The House of Flora is a group of mostly queer and trans people of color who are in the long tradition of the house ball scene. And typically that's something that's on the East Coast, where I'm from, New Jersey. A lot of queer and trans people of color flock to the ballroom scene. That's how I got my start. But in Portland, it's actually new. And we have this interesting distinction of having our ballroom scene coming directly out of a sort of social justice milieu. So while a lot of the people come from the nightlife scene, they are on the right side of history. They're queer people of color. Queer people of color tend to be on the right side of history.
Absolutely.
And I noticed the Buddhists were out there, and the rabbi, and the NAACP.
The Buddhist Peace Fellowship, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, and the Interfaith Justice grouping that we have here, that was led by Rabbi Ariel Stone and Rabbi Deborah Kolodny. Mm-hmm. And they opened up the day with some spiritual guidance. I felt like it was a pretty well-rounded day. You start with some social justice rabbis, and then you finish with about 20 gay kids voguing.
And don't forget the unprecedented brass band.
Oh my goodness, everybody in the unprecedented, it's precedented, not precedented.
Correct.
It's not that it hasn't happened before, but it doesn't have a ruler.
Yes.
It's unprecedented.
Unprecedented.
And that is with our good comrade Miles, who helps to coordinate a lot of this stuff. And the unprecedented brass band has been part of popular mobilization since our first popular mobilization in 2018 on August 4th. That is a day that will live in infamy,
yes,
depending on your political persuasion. But they are a group of people who just want to play their instruments and keep up the spirits at anti-fascist protests. It's fabulous.
Mm-hmm. So Portland has made the news several times over the past few years for the perceived violence at rallies that have included both fascists and anti-fascists. And it seems that the press, which was anti-fascist, has become enamored by your recent actions, posting very positive articles in the local and national press. Yet the message from anti-fascists has been the same all along. What do you want the fascists in? We don't want fascists in our city. Well, what would you tell us how?
Well, they are here.
Would you tell us how the pop mob changed the narrative this time and created such an event as the spectacle?
Well, the narrative was one of fun. It was meant to be a party, and it does not require that the people who participate are necessarily ready to throw down in the street and punch a Nazi. And we don't ever throw people who punch Nazis under the bus either. And this is something that some coalitions are struggling with in other parts of the country, in other parts of the world. This question of, well, how do we fight the ascendant right? Because, of course, it's not just in the United States that the right is getting more of an echo. And of course, that's not without its shadow. Socialism is also getting its hearing. These things tend to come together. But it's important for people who are trying to work in coalition to be okay with and respect a diversity of tactics. So we use the St. Paul principle, St. Paul as in Minnesota, one of the Twin Cities. I want people to check that out and really think about what it looks like to engage in protest without necessarily requiring that everyone who participates follows a strict sort of order of the day, a way to protest. There's nothing wrong with asking, but throwing people under the bus who are not ready to fall in line to someone else's type of protest is just not a good idea, because people experience the pangs of the rising right differently and experience the pangs of racism and capitalism and patriarchy differently. And when people are crying out, I think it's important to allow them to cry out.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I read an article today from a man that was at OMSI during the spectacle, and he was one of the people that was there at the time that OMSI closed down and locked them in, and he was very, very frightened. And the police actually put those fascists right in that neighborhood on purpose, and that's so frustrating. I just when I read that article, it was just like, wow, this is what they, and they told these people, go to OMSI. It's a safe place. Don't go across the river. Well, yeah, exactly. So, the mayor has not really done a good job of handling this, but I thought that the spectacle handled themselves just absolutely wonderfully. So has the mayor, city council, or the police chief reached out to Pop Mob to recognize that Pop Mob was able to hold a large anti-fascist action with such success? I mean, I thought it was just so successful.
So Democracy Now! This last week or last week spoke to one of our city councilors, Joanne Hardesty, who was there with Shane Burley, who's also a friend to KBOO, and so was Joanne. She used to have her own show. And they were offering full-throated defenses of anti-fascist action and organizing. And it's important to take this as an example of how people that are in office should take up the question of anti-fascism, because fascism thrives when the status quo is being maintained at all costs. The reason that we're spinning out in a lot of strange political directions is because the center is not holding. The center cannot deliver what it used to deliver. We're not going to have peace in the streets. We're not going to have labor peace. Sorry.
Nope.
This can't go on anymore, because people are being sacrificed on the altar of global capitalism. And it's that strife that we're all being forced to see every day. I encourage people to listen to Democracy Now. We play it on KBOO twice a day, every day.
Absolutely.
And just listen to what's happening in the world, because this is your future.
I know, and it's scary.
7 a.m. and 4 p.m. So Pop Mob joined forces with CAUSA to do a fundraiser to help immigrant families. Tell us about CAUSA and how this fundraiser came about.
CAUSA is one of the best immigrants' rights organizations that I have had the pleasure of working with. And we wanted to have a positive message about fighting the right. So it's not just that we want people to come out and show up in mass numbers. Yes, if you can, you know, if you can get a ride, if you can get transportation, if your body will get you to the place and allow you to protest, then we're very happy to have you. But for people who really can't or don't want to, can participate too. And this time around, we partnered with CAUSA to have people pledge to give whatever amount of money that they can afford.
So like a walkathon?
Yeah, for each far-right demonstrator that showed up on the day. And that is one creative way to be able to raise money for an organization like CAUSA, because, of course, what animates the right more than anything else, you know, there are a lot of reactionaries in this ascendant right that's forming. So it's a constellation of people who have some really disgusting ideas. Yes. But the most prevalent will continue to be around immigration, because, of course, there will be more and more immigration, because the chickens are coming home to roost. Yes. And the United States Empire has been causing incredible chaos and destruction and death onto other parts of the world. And a lot of those people now are living in failed states and failing states, and they need somewhere to go. And now you've got this right wing that's so emboldened by Trump that are now ready to demonize the very people who are being so badly hurt by U.S. military policies and global financial policies and environmental policies. Hello, the Amazon is burning.
It is.
And people who live there will need to go somewhere else. But if you've got a right-wing militia that's ready to militarize your border, those people will die.
I know it.
And the hope is that ordinary people will see all of this and just feel so overwhelmed that they don't even know where to begin to fight back. But where you can begin to fight back is anti-fascist action with your friends and neighbors.
Do we want to go there?
Sure. Okay. So what other types of action does the Pop Mob take part in, or do you expect to be taking part in the future?
We are all in agreement to confront the right when they try to demonstrate. That's our basic principle.
Okay.
So
how do people figure out what's coming next? How do people be in contact? How do they get updates?
PopMob, P-O-P-M-O-B. We're on every platform, every social media platform. And
P-O-P-M-O-B.
Yeah, Popular Mobilization. And that's in the Portland area. And people who are listening in other cities that want to do something like Pop Mob should absolutely reach out, and let's duplicate these efforts, because we're going to need them everywhere.
Okay, well, we've been talking with Alyssa Pariah of Popular Mobilization, Pop Mob. That wraps it up for tonight's Labor Radio, this Monday and every Monday at 6 p.m. on KBOO. Thanks to Mike. Sorry.
Selena.
Selena, our engineer.
Oh, thank you, Selena.
Stay tuned for Prison Pipeline.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Bonds Over Borders on Tuesday, August 27th at 6 p.m. at the Cleaners at Ace Hotel in Portland. Bonds Over Borders is a benefit for Innovation Law Lab, a Portland-based organization that works to increase legal access for immigrants at detention centers, both locally and around the country. There will be live stand-up sets from Adam Passy and Dan Weber and live music by Pedro Queriega. Again, that's Bonds Over Borders on Tuesday, August 27th at 6 p.m. at the Cleaners at Ace Hotel, 403 Southwest 10th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Welcome to Prison Pipeline. I'm your host, Isabel Sinclair, and today I'm here in the studio with Dawn Swan, a formerly incarcerated mother.